This is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. Supreme Court Judge Antonin Scalia's death over the weekend has caused a scramble in Washington to find his replacement. It's also put a spotlight on West Texas. Scalia died at a remote resort ranch in that region. Tom Michael with Marfa Public Radio has been covering the story. He spoke to KERA's Rick Holter.
What do we know about Cibola Ranch?
Well, it's a beautiful spread here in West Texas, 30,000 acres. I was at the ranch gates on Saturday after Scalia's death, and they weren't letting anyone in. It's a private ranch owned by Houston businessman John Poindexter. At times, it's open to the public, but apparently Mr. Poindexter had 40 guests over, including Judge Scalia.
And Scalia and these 40 people were apparently on a hunting trip.
That's what I heard from locals later that evening. We know that Justice Scalia was a fan of hunting, and it's quail season.
This ranch is really remote. I'm told the actual declaration of death had to be done by phone?
That's right. It's one of the largest counties in Texas, over 3,800 square miles, Presidio County. Cibola Creek Ranch is about 35 miles south of Marfa. It's north of Shafter, which is a ghost town, an old mining town. And it's pretty remote country. The first justice of the peace, Juanita Bishop, was called, but she was away in Fort Stockton. So it went to the second justice of the peace, David Beebe. He was at a candidate forum in the neighboring county in Alpine. So finally, Judge Cinderella Guevara had to make the pronouncement of death, provide the inquest, which she did over the phone at about 10 minutes to 2 on Saturday.
And she's the actual county judge there in Presidio County.
She's the county judge, and so normally that's not a service she provides.
So, Tom, how are the folks in Marfa reacting to this?
Rick, as you can imagine, it's shock, really, for such a huge news event here in such a small town. I spoke with David Chappell. He's a Fort Worth native who said that he served with Justice Scalia as the House of Delegates on the American Bar Association back in the early 80s, just before he was appointed to the Supreme Court by President Reagan.
He was a very humorous person, very gregarious. Very outgoing, a delight to be around on a personal basis. Of course, a very aggressive and, I guess, caustic person in regard to his judicial positions on originalism on the court.
But I think Tammy King really summed it up. Cibola Creek Ranch is historic, meticulously restored by John Poindexter. It dates back to 1857. There's historic rock art, a lagoon, and miles of trail. It's a really beautiful place. And that's what Tammy King told me. Wow, what a place to go if you were to pass.
Tom Michael of Marfa Public Radio, thanks for taking the time.
Hey, pleasure to be with you, Rick.
Atrial fibrillation affected more than 33 million people globally in 2010. A new study says the condition appears to be a stronger risk factor for heart disease and death in women than in men. In this edition of Vital Signs, I talked about this with Dr. Sunita Koshi Nesbed of Texas Health Arlington Memorial Hospital. What is atrial fibrillation?
It's an electrical disorder in the top chambers of the heart. It causes a very chaotic and erratic pumping mechanism to those top chambers. Lots of patients will feel palpitations, some patients fatigue. Others may go as far as actually feeling dizzy and having chest pain. The disorder, it doesn't allow the blood to pump out normally as if it would otherwise. Mm-hmm. So those patients who have atrial fibrillation are more prone to clotting in those areas of the heart, and they usually need treatment, including blood-thinning medication.
The resulting poor blood flow can lead to a number of problems.
Yes, that blood will pool in the upper chambers and cause clotting, which can lead to strokes. When the lower chamber doesn't get its appropriate amount of blood, it can go into heart failure over time.
Now, the study found a higher risk of mortality for women with atrial fibrillation, about 12%. Do we know why?
You know, it's really not pinpointed exactly as to why. Mm-hmm. There is growing amount of information and literature showing that women not only experience risk factors for heart disease different than men, but they have a higher mortality associated with it. Atrial fibrillation a lot of times is caused by underlying heart disease. So one reason for women to have more atrial fibrillation may be that they are underdiagnosed or undertreated for heart disease.
Is it also possible that maybe some of the symptoms that might indicate problems related to the heart are easy to mistake for other things?
What we do know for sure is that women's symptoms when it comes to heart disease, in particular heart attacks or chest pain, are different from men. So sure, there's a lot of women who may be having a heart attack who just have nausea, and they will let that go. Is that part of why there's an increased risk of atrial fibrillation in women? Or is it that, in fact, atrial fibrillation is a true unrelated disease disorder and is in higher prevalence of women? We just don't know. So
the symptoms can differ from that of men?
Mm-hmm. When it comes to cardiac disease, yes. Women cannot mount any chest pain whatsoever when it comes to having an ongoing cardiac issue, whereas classically men will have that textbook symptom.
Well, results support more aggressive treatment of risk factors in women.
Correct. And this goes back to physicians and the community and women themselves being more aware that historically women have been underdiagnosed and undertreated, whether or not that's the actual patient's wrongdoing or the medical community kind of oversight. It doesn't matter at this point. I think that the first thing when you talk about aggressive medical treatment is to capture those patients first, get them in, make them aware that, yes, indeed, cardiovascular disease is the number one killer of women, and start from there.
In the meantime, what can be done to prevent atrial fibrillation?
Atrial fibrillation in and of itself has several risk factors. First and foremost is underlying cardiovascular disease. However, there are increased caffeine intake, increased alcohol intake, stress can cause atrial fibrillation, even air pollution, obstructive sleep apnea, gastrointestinal disorders. There is some literature now emerging in the basic science realm to suggest that atrial fibrillation has a genetic predisposition and that it can run in families. However, there is such a strong comorbidities and risk factors for atrial fibrillation from the list that I just told you that even if you are predisposed to atrial fibrillation, you may not get it, you know, without these other stressors, basically.
Dr. Koshy-Nesbitt, thank you for being with me.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Sunita Koshy-Nesbitt is a cardiac electrophysiologist and medical director of the Intensive Cardiac Rehab Program at Texas Health Arlington Memorial Hospital. We got a slight chance of rain, mostly sunny skies otherwise, with a high of 68, 55 now in Dallas, 54 in Fort Worth.